Welcome to Deeper Insights, a podcast produced by Construction and Demolition Recycling Magazine that takes you deeper into the stories featured on our covers. You'll hear the voices of the leaders of demo firms, aggregate recyclers, and mixed C&D recyclers as they share their stories of growth, challenges, and successes in hopes for the future. We'll learn about the history of the industry, its people, and the new technology that will lead it to greater heights.
Hi, this is Haley Richard, Associate Editor of Construction and Demolition Recycling Magazine. Welcome to Deeper Insights, a podcast where we dig deeper into the subjects of our magazine's cover profiles. Today, we'll be talking to Josh Fuchs, President of Be Green Recycling and Supply, based in Oakland, California. In this episode, Josh will be sharing his introduction to the C&D industry and how he's overcome challenges in the field. To start out, I was wondering if you could tell me a bit about yourself and your role at Be Green Recycling and Supply, and also if we could go into a bit of how the company got its start.
It came out of a need to pivot into something else that would, you know, take care of our family. And the idea came up to start this thing up in Oakland, so we went after it.
When you did decide to make that career shift, what was that process kind of like? What were some of those early discussions like that got you to the point of actually founding a company?
It seemed like an industry that had, you know, a future then. Mm-hmm. And where we were at and what we were doing in the real estate world, I mean, it comes in feast or famine, and we were definitely into the famine side of things, so something just had to give. But the recycling industry, it seems like it's got some resiliency to it. When I'm trying to think back to, you know, this is 13 years ago and where my frame of mind was then, it was like, shoot, I gotta do something.
Yeah.
You know, I got bills to pay and so, you know, we did an initial analysis and it seemed like it could work, with a lot of unknowns. And to be honest with you, if I knew now what I know now versus what I didn't know then, I probably wouldn't have even thought to try. Mm-hmm. I just had no clue what I didn't even know then. And there was sort of this ignorant confidence that we could pull something off. And thankfully that worked out. But given the regulatory climate today versus what it was then, I think it would be harder to do it the way that we did it now. In fact, I don't know that we would be able to do it now the way we did it then.
Yeah, I'm actually glad that you mentioned that, because that was something I was curious about. What if there were any regulatory hurdles when you were trying to start up this business, and maybe how you overcame those?
I mean, the regulations haven't changed a lot. I think it was sort of how they were worked through then was different than how they're worked through now. In Alameda County, our first LEA, even today, our current LEA, when there's issues that come up, I don't feel like it's this, we're going to beat you up with these regulations and come in with a baseball bat and start clobbering you. Definitely they want the regulations followed. I mean, they're doing their jobs and they're doing them well, but they've come alongside, you know, to kind of, initially it was this process of, hey, this is wrong, you can't do that. And I would say, oh, I didn't know that, and now I know and I'll fix it. And so there was a lot of that going on initially. Nowadays, if there's something that changes or there's something that comes up, we've already, you know, develop the rapport of, I'm not here to fight the regulation. I'm just here to learn and grow as an operator and get better, you know?
Yeah.
And I think our LEA has been, you know, allowed us to become better. I'll say this, my first inspector, she was tough, but she made me a better operator as a result of it.
So, kind of to get some more perspective about like the early days of your business, what were some of the things that you needed to do to start attracting a client base? And then as like a second part to that question, what did some of your early operations look like? What kind of equipment did you have on site?
Yeah, initially we had an old tub grinder in a small postage stamp size operation, and that was a terrible idea. We learned that really quick, trying to grind wood waste and green waste. Also initially we had all of our wood, all of our organics processing was done in the C&D facility. And as we've grown and gotten more property and another some other permits set up, we've moved that off of the C&D operation to make room for better C&D processing. But equipment wise, there's still a floor sort. We started as a floor sorting operation. We still are a floor sorting operation. Material, throughput has, steadily increased, kind of at a plateau at this stage of the game, but that's with having moved all of our organics and most of our heavy inerts off of the mix C&D permit. So any source separated stuff that comes in now goes to a neighboring facility that we own now.
And have you always sorted the materials that you do now, or did it start out a little slimmer when you first launched the company?
No, we've always tried to be good at our sorting operation, primarily because our landfill bill is the largest expense. It's the most costly material for us to move off-site. Mm-hmm. And so there's an economic reason for wanting to get those materials out of landfill and into either some form of diversion or straight recycling.
And to kind of go back to a question I had earlier, who were some of your earliest clients, and what were some of the challenges in developing relationships with some of these companies and trying to get them on board?
Yeah, when it started, you got to think back, this was during the height of the Great Recession. And when we started our facility, there was one other facility in the region that was doing construction demolition debris recycling, and that was Waste Management. And so for us, it was a matter of just getting in front of people who were actually working. My wife and, she would pile the kids into the minivan and she'd drive to every Home Depot in the area, just looking for people that were actually doing construction work. And it was guerrilla marketing 101, just out there trying to find anybody who was active in the industry. We mailed every licensed contractor in the region from the data that we got from the California Landscape or the California Contractors Board. And the concern there was, we send out this big mailer, but we don't even know if some of these contractors are even still working, or if they are working, are they even working in the area? Because the Bay Area is a very transient population. You have contractors and companies that'll come in and do the job for a while and then they leave when that job is over. And there are, obviously, there's some really good customers that are in the Bay Area, and they've stayed in the Bay Area and they've been there long before me, and hopefully continue along with us as we continue going. But from the get-go, it was that whole just guerrilla marketing, making the one-on-one contacts with the contractors as they were in their jobs. And then it grew into building out a website that was actually, communicative. The industry doesn't really do well with that, or hadn't been doing well with that going back 13 years. And we recognized that as an area where we could at least get in front of people. And so we spent some effort building a website, and that has borne, good results as a result having done that. And there's changes in mind for that too, that not specifically tied to the recycling that we do, but there'll be some enhancements made on that front for sure. Because now, as a company, we've grown to include a full landscape materials sales facility, where we, some of the material we actually get in, we colorize our own mulches, we do some soil blending, and we sell out of that yard, but we also have a retail component to that yard that in the last few years, that's been our fastest growing division, is just that marketing and sales of landscape materials.
Gotcha. So I would like to come back to that in a second, some sure. of the offshoot companies that you've had come about. But for the C&D processing side, are most of your customers like construction demolition contractors, or do you do any other types of work with maybe other companies that might collect it, that bring it to your site, things like that?
Primarily, they are the contractor themselves that are bringing us the material.
Gotcha.
There's a handful of like debris box companies or the cleanup companies. When they're doing cleanups or cleanouts for construction properties, you know, then our permit, you know, we're allowed to take those construction materials, but we don't take general garbage. We don't take any of the, you know, junket kind of materials that have a lot of personal property that aren't related to construction debris. But we do have a lot of small contractors. A handful of the larger contractors will use us, but there's thousands of individual customers that we see on an annual basis. We're not tied to a handful of larger companies. It's a lot of, I feel like we're really well diversified in that the mom and pop type smaller contractors find us and use us as a good service for them.
So now to go back to what you were talking about before, the addition of your landscape supply company, as well as I'm seeing that you founded an asphalt shingle recycling company as well. So I was wondering what kind of led to the growth of those and why you felt those were good avenues to go into along with your C&D recycling business.
Sure. In 2012, we were approached by the asphalt paving industry to see if we could produce recycled asphalt shingles, or RAS. And at the time we were grinding our asphalt shingles into ADC, but they were mixed in with all the other ABC spec materials. ABC is alternative daily cover. They use that here in California. I know they use it elsewhere as well, but in California, there's a spec for that alternative daily cover material, and asphalt shingles was part of that. When they approached us, we're excited about the idea. We had actually just sublet a piece of property from a neighboring business. We've since bought that property, but at the time we sublet from that tenant that was on site and explored the idea of recycling asphalt shingles. So we developed a protocol. We worked with one of the larger asphalt producers in the country, Vulcan Materials, and we developed a spec that would meet their QA, QC criteria, quality assurance, quality control.
Mm-hmm.
And had a great process. You know, we were able to procure the shingles from other waste companies like Zanker, like some of the other larger facilities in the region. We had a really good setup going. The roadblock we ran into was Caltrans, and this is going back to 2012. Caltrans would not, and even to this day, still has not produced a spec material for the use of RAS in asphalt pavement. And so in 2012, we were hard and heavy. We did this for a few years trying to make this work. I was going to the stakeholder meetings with Caltrans, with the asphalt producers, with other waste management companies. And we were telling Caltrans, look, we can do this. We can get the material out of the waste stream cleanly. We can test and give assurance that there is no asbestos in our process or our finished product. And we can deliver a good that has a proven track record all across the country, citing studies, citing different examples, not just university type studies, but actually case, like real life case studies. We did this for years with Caltrans, trying to get them to produce this spec, and they never would produce it. And it became a material that I would get very little money for I get very little money for on the front end, hoping that I could sell this value of asphalt to the producers on the back end, and actually had agreements from some of these larger companies for them to purchase that asphalt at that value. But the spec wouldn't get released, and so I ended up with material that they couldn't use, therefore I couldn't get rid of or sell. And so I ended up with a mountain of material that I got paid very little for and put a lot of money into to deliver this finished good product that nobody wanted. And you can only do that for so long before you're like, you know what, I got to do something else. And that's when we decided to pivot that use of the yard space that was devoted to this shingle operation. We switched it over and started doing more landscape materials development.
Gotcha. So is that sect of the business still in operation, or have you kind of?
No, it's not. It was started under a sister company that we formed. It was called Asphalt Shingle Recyclers LLC. And in 2017, I believe it was, we formally merged that. So we started as Commercial Waste and Recycling doing the C&D. We formed a sister company, Asphalt Shingle Recyclers LLC, and I was doing the asphalt shingles on that neighboring lot that we had sublet. And then in 2017, after the shingle thing kind of fell apart, we merged everything into this rebranded Be Green Recycling and Supply, because that's what we really be, you know, as we bought all of that real estate that we were operating on, we now own everything that we run on, which is just tremendous blessing for us to have that kind of a security instead of running on a leased site or a subleased site. We own the dirt through a holding company, and now we don't have to worry about somebody evicting us later and basically stealing your permit, because I've heard of that happening. So, you know, that happened in 2015 and 16 is when we bought the dirt, and then we merged everything in 2017.
And how big is your current site?
C&D yard is still the same size. It's it sits on right around an acre.
Gotcha.
And so all of our mixed C&D operations happen in that 1 acre space. And then the other site, the C&D, or sorry, the inert green, those two permits, those are on roughly about maybe 4 of our close to 7 acres. And the remaining spaces are supportive of our operations at our retail yard.
Kind of as a tangent, I was wondering what how you came up with the name Be Green. I like it, but I'm curious where it came from.
Yeah, that was part of that whole, hey, Commercial Waste and Recycling LLC is a hideously long name to have as a website. And we had so many customers saying, hey, I'm just a homeowner, can I bring my stuff to you? And of course you can, because it's construction debris related.
Mm-hmm.
So the name didn't really work well on the C&D side. And then we were called Asphalt Shingle Recyclers LLC on the other end. And we just hit this wall with Caltrans, and we're not recycling asphalt shingles like we want to and like our name says. And so there was sort of this identity crisis in this. So my wife and I came, you know, together to say, hey, we've just bought all this property. What's a long-term plan look like? Because we're not doing the shingle thing. It's not working. And what do we want this to look like? And she came up with the name and the logo. And it was just out of about a 3 or 4 week process of trying 1,000 different things and what domains we could come up with and get a hold of that would work with what we wanted to do. And so begreen.green was one of the cool names we could find that would actually work with what we were wanting to do. And then the logo she developed on some like scrapbooking software.
Nice.
That she plays with, you know, and
it's
then
good,
we
said, though,
we,
I wouldn't have
we
known
said
that.
Sent it to the guy that worked on our website. They do some graphic design stuff, and so they kind of tied it up for us.
I love it.
Yeah, thank you. She did a great job with that.
So on your landscaping side of the business, what kind of prompted that venture, and how do they kind of like coexist within the same company?
Yeah, great question. There's, you know, I'm not a dummy, but I'm not a genius, but it would take a non-genius to recognize that you have a customer base that's coming to you with landscape materials from the job they just completed, who are then leaving your facility to go drive to a mulch yard to buy mulch. And I'm delivering my wood waste that I'm grinding up to a guy who makes clean mulch, because we didn't have the capacity to make it at the time. And so, you know, putting the two together, it's like, well, I can put up a bunker, and the truck that I'm delivering my ground wood waste to out to the mulch guy, I can fill up with his colored mulch and bring it back and put it in that bunker and sell it to these customers that want it. And that's literally how it started. And then those customers, just listening to our customers and trying to be, you know, our mission statement is helping you succeed. So when somebody comes to you and says, hey, can you get weed block so I can put it under this mulch and not have the weeds grow through, that's what started us. Okay, well, maybe we can get some weed block fabric, or, you know, and then it turned into, hey, can you get this, or hey, can you get that? And just in response to what our customer was wanting, we went out and got more and more things that they wanted, and it turned into what it is today, which is the largest landscape materials supply yard in the East Bay area, maybe even the Bay area. I don't know if we're the largest in footprint, but we definitely have one of the largest product offerings. I think there's close to 70 bulk bins, and then dozens of, you know, toted materials that we bring in, and things that anybody wanting to do an outdoor landscape project should be able to get the material from us and then bring us the materials out of their job that are, you know, leftovers after the construction. So the recycling side of it, we take care of afterwards. Gotcha. Or the demo that they got to do beforehand, you know, we take the material that comes out of that when they're tearing it out. So the synergy was some of the materials out of the C&D world actually get turned into landscape materials. And so we took a while, but we created a market for some of those materials in our area. And then now we support that with all the other kinds of materials that the customers need.
Thanks so much for joining us for our first episode of Deeper Insights. We hope you enjoyed this discussion, and be sure to stay tuned for our upcoming episodes.